Okay. In the beginning of the Sedra of Vayera this morning, Torah has an unusual expression. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram, to Moshe Rabbeinu in a manner that is different than the way he appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It says, Vayera el Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Bekel Shakar, Shmi Hashem, lo nodati lohem. He says, I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov using the name, we'll say it now for instructional purposes, El Shaddai, but Ushmi, the Yud Kevavke, the Shem Hashem, lo nodati lahem. I did not make myself known by that name. So Rashi comments, and again, Parsha begins, So Rashi comments that Shmi Hashem, lo nodati lahem. He says, Lo hodati ain't, well, let's read first the previous Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Bey says, V'amar lev ani Hashem, Neman l'shalayim schar tol l'mishalchun l'fanav. What does the name of Hashem symbolize? Right, that's the opening Pasuk. Ani Hashem, Neman l'shalayim schar tol l'mishalchun l'fanav. That I'm dependable, reliable to pay a great reward to those who follow me. And therefore, V'lo l'chinam shachticha, I didn't send you for nothing, but rather I wanted you to do what I command you to do, and so on. So that's kind of introductory pasuk ani Hashem. But in pasuk Gimel, when it says Va'era la'avos, what does Kel Shakai mean? Hiftachtim avtochos v'chulam amartu amani El Shaddai. And you look back in Bereshit, Rashi says many of the avtochos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were accompanied by some reference to the name of Hashem as El Shaddai, Shin Dalad Yud. However, Shmi Hashem lo nodati, lemar Hashem lo hodati, im tziv kana lo nodati, lo nichrati lahem b'midas emes shali, shaleni ko Shmi Hashem, nemen la mitzvah, sharev tachtin lo kiyamti. I didn't use my name Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei with them, because I promised them certain things, but I didn't deliver. In other words, I told Avram, his descendant, this will happen, and that will happen, the other thing happened, but they didn't come true in the days of Avram, they didn't come true in the days of Yitzchak, they didn't come true in the days of Yaakov. So Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, while they were promised many things, did not see the fulfillment of the promises. That's what Rashi understands. And somehow, the name of Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of Hashem symbolizes more truth, or more, a greater level of revelation, if you will. That's what the psukim seem to indicate according to Rashi. So again, we have a funny, those who are the biblical scholars who propose the idea that we, of course, reject outright that there are different authors, they have a field day with these psukim in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, because it says, Vaydaber Elokim El Moshe, right, using the Shem Elokim. Then it says, Vamei Elav Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then it says, Vayel Avram Shel Yaakov, Bekel Shaka, all these different names of God in the opening psukim. So this is what the biblical scholars have a good time, and the modern scholars are demonstrating somehow that there are different authors against them that we categorically reject. But in any event, what Hashem does is he uses the four-letter name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, what we call the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name, and Rashi tells us that this somehow has a different meaning. The Ibn Ezra, here on the Pasuk, for example, says that it's not that the Avos never heard of that name, because the truth is there are places, in Ramban has a lengthy explanation, there are places in Chumash Bereishis also, when Hashem spoke with the Avos, that he does use the name Yudkei Vavkei. It's not that it never appeared until here, and it's not that it never appeared in any of Hashem's revelations to the Avos. So Ibn Ezra explained, it doesn't mean they weren't familiar with the name, but somehow their understanding or their perception of the significance of that name was incomplete. That's Ibn Ezra explained. The Ramban has a long essay and says that the Avos did not know that name through the same level of Nevuah, through the same comprehension. Again, you can look in the Ramban at length at the beginning of the Sedra. The point is that somehow Moshe Rabbeinu is being given a clearer, more complete, more deep understanding of this name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the upshot of all of this in the beginning of the Sedra, distinguishing between the Avos, who perceived Hashem one way, and now Moshe Rabbeinu, to whom Hashem is revealing himself in a different fashion, using the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's how we pronounce it, says the Chai Adam, so not to even mention the letters, we spoke on Shul last night, not to even mention the letters of the name. We don't even say the letters in a row, the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey, we always say Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's Chai Adam points that out in Kal Hei, in Sif Chav Zayin. The Rambam, in the Morah Ruchim, in Chelek Beis, Perek Lamed Ches, the Rambam quotes these psukim actually to demonstrate that the level of Moshe's nevuah was greater. We know that the level of Moshe's, no Navi had the level of perception that Moshe Rabbeinu had, we know that. So the Rambam actually quotes this pasuk, these psukim here, as a proof for that notion that Moshe somehow got the revelation through this name, which is clearer and more perceptible than what the others got. So it's not just, you know, an accident of different names, but rather, as we say, it symbolizes somehow a deeper understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name represents. The Rambam discussed this elsewhere as well in Chelek Aleph of the Morin Avuchim, Siman Samach Aleph. The Rambam, Parak Tamach Aleph. The Rambam writes that whereas other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are descriptive, describing different midos or different characteristics, we speak about the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world, how we perceive his interaction with the world. So speak about Rachum and Chanun. So these are names of Hashem, so to speak, that describe his interaction with the world. The Rambam says that this name, unlike the others that are descriptive of a specific attribute, this somehow describes the very essence of Hashem, his transcendence, and maybe his absolute existence. So this Yudkei Vavkei is more the essential name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the name, the Shem, we sometimes call it the Shem HaMeforesh. The Tur, in the beginning of our Chaim, Simen Hei, the Tur says that this name describes the notion of Hoya, the Hove, the Yeh, as the letters Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey indicate. The Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey together, these letters speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being eternal, Hoya, Hove, the Yeh, and which some will see in the Shulchan Aruch as well, that's what the Tur says, describes, and the later thinkers and philosophers discuss it at some length as well. The Baal HaTanya, for example, in Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, in Perek Dalet, the Baal HaTanya says this name indicates somehow that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all existence, the source of all, of everything that is in the world. In the Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, Perek Zion, he says that this name indicates, again, because of Hoya Hovaviyah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists beyond the realm of time and space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited by, you know, the laws of physics, by the laws of the world. He exists beyond time and space. That's what Yudkei Vavkei represents. Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim says that we have to understand that we can't really use any name to describe the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather this name indicates, in the deepest sense, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he relates to the universe. And he quotes this in the Pirkei Eliezer, and so on. The Sefer HaKuzari, Ma'amar Dalet Siman Aleph, writes that this is the most precise name of Hashem, this is his name. And in fact, the truth of the matter is, it's really a Gemara. The Pasuk says in Bamidbar Parag Vav Pasuk Chav Zayin, by Berachas Kohanim, it says that the Kohanim are instructed to say the Psukim Berach Hashem Yishmerach, etc. And then it says at the end, V'somu es shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avorchem. That's the pasuk in Parshas Noso. V'somu es shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avorchem. Should place, so to speak, my name, V'somu es shemi, on b'nei Yisrael. So which name does that refer to? That's when we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'somu es shemi, place my name upon b'nei Yisrael, and I will bless them. So what's my name? So that's what the Gemara says in Sota, on Daf Lamed Ches Amar Aleph, which we'll find in a second. The Gemara says, the Samuel is Shemi, which name we talking about? So that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanar Abanam, the Samuel is Shemi, Shemi HaMiyuchadli. That's the name that is essential only to me. And that's only uttered in the Beis HaMikdash, the Birchas Kohanim, when they said it in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara says, in a number of brises, I'm just finding the exact source. Yeah, it says, how do we know? V'tanya idach kos sevarach was b'nei Yisrael. How are you supposed to bless b'nei Yisrael? B'shem hamaforosh. With using this name, the Kohanim, when they did Berachas Kohanim, would say that name, Yivarech Hashem. They said the Yud Kei Vav Kei, they pronounce it in that proper fashion, the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Atom b'shem hamaforosh, o'ena el b'kima, tamalom v'som v'shmi, shmi amiyuchadli. Yochol af begulim came. Can you do that outside the base? Begulim means outside the framework of the base of Mikdash. No, only in the base of Mikdash, because it says v'somu es shmi. The nemar lahalav asuma shemo sham. There's another pasuk in Akev where it says asuma shemo shar grei. Asuma shemo sham. Kadosh Baruch Hu placed his name there. Malaham base of Kavkan base of Achira. And the Rabbi Yoshi Amar Eino Tzarech Hari Omer B'chol HaMokom Asher Azkir Es Shemi Avoy Lecha B'chol Mokom Sarabar Ela Mikuz Em Esur Esu B'chol Mokom Asher Avoy Lecha V'rach Tichos Shom Azkir Es Shemi. Wherever I deliver a bracha to you, and that's the base of the Chira, the Gemara proves for the next source, so that's where you're supposed to utter the name of Hashem. So the bottom line is that the Gemara tells us that this is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is associated with Birchas Kohanim, which is associated with the blessing of the Jewish people, and which is associated with the performance of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi In Chumash, over there in Shmos, Parakhov, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that the Gemara just quoted, and that's the very end of Parashat Yisro, which says, V'chol ha-makom asher azkir es shmi, avo elecho verachticha. So Rashi says, V'chol ha-makom asher azkir es shmi, any place asher etein lecho reshus, lahazkir es shem ha-meforash li, wherever you have reshus, to use my shame on the forest, Sham, Abba Elecha Barakticha, Ashfer Shinosi Elecha. Mikana Talomit, says Rashi, Shalomit, is Rashi in Pashis Yisro. Mikana Talomit, Shalomitan, Rashus, Lahaski, Shame on the forest, Elamokum, Shashina, Boasham. The Zel Beit HaBechira. The only place you're allowed to utter the name of Hashem is in the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaBechira. Sham, Nitan, Rashus, the Kohanim, Lahaski, Shem, Rosh, Nesis, Kapanim, Barakasam. That's the place where the Kohanim are able to use the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the course of Birchas Kohanim. So that's what Rashi says based on the Gemara. As we mentioned before, the Gemara says the Gulin outside the framework of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't mention that name. And in fact, Tosus makes the comment, there in Sota Daf Lamed Chesam of Dumas Harehu Omer, that, the truth is, if you look in Yuma, this is why we find that name was not popularized. It was not really so clear, Tosus says, that it was not known by many people, actually. It wasn't, the name was not used by people on a regular basis. Even the Kohanim. Tosus alludes to the fact that there are,
At
a certain point, even the Kohanim stopped using the Shem HaMeforash because it was feared, or perhaps the breakdown in observant Judaism, or the rise of the Tzedukim, or other historical factors that would lead perhaps the names to be misused and abused. So even the Kohanim would not use it. Says in Tosus, "L'gishalo zochor shuvu gilu shchina." That's the Tosus. They didn't have the same level of gilu shchina in the Beis Hamikdash after the days of Shimon HaTzadik. There was a downturn, so to speak, in the level of divine revelation. Actually, the Mechilta, which I forgot to bring with me, but the Mechilta in Parshas Yisro, in Parshas B'chodesh, Parshas Yud Aleph, actually indicates, based on all of this, that there's a special issur to mention the Shem HaForosh outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Yuma says that also, the Apsamach says on the Beis, and the Rambam, did I bring the Rambam? Yeah. The Rambam paskins accordingly. The Rambam Parak Yud Dalet, Mehilchus Tzila Halacha Yud, the Rambam says, There's two Gemaras. It's both places, actually. Okay, since you're asking, I'll read the Gemara in Yuma. There's one Gemara in Yuma, Samach Tes on the Beis. Just find the exact thing. Didn't get a chance to mark this off before, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, top of Samach Tes on the Beis, based on a pasuk in the Nehemiah, it says, Vayvarech Ezra, Es Hashem Elokim, my God, and Yosef, Arav, Shagod, with the Shem on Forash. The Gemara in Sot and Yuma, Samach Tes and Beis, has a statement, Ein Omer Shem HaForash Begulim, Amishin, like an Isser, that it's not proper, because it's not allowed to mention Shem HaForash anywhere outside the framework of the Beis HaMikdash. The other Gemara was, and the Tosus in Sot on Lamed Ches, quoted from Yuma, Daf Lamed Tes, was in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, after the days of Shimon HaTzadik, they stopped using it. So it's two different Gemara. But that's this Gemara here. So the Rambam Paskins, in Perek Yud Dalet, of Hilchos Tfila Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes, the Omer is Hashem Kiksovu, who Hashem, Anegev, Miyud, Hei, and Abov, and Hei, Bezeo Hashem, Aforish, Omer Chomakom. Of Medina, Omer Oso, Bekinuyo, Behu, Be'alav Dalet. The name Hashem, Yud, Hei, the Abov, and Hei, was pronounced in the Beis HaMikdash, but Begvulin, anywhere, Medina means anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, they would say it with another name, Alav Dalet, right? That's what we do. When we see the Yud, Hei, the Abov, and Hei, we pronounce it Adonai, yeah.
Would the Rambam be consistent anywhere near Shalayim?
I was wondering about that. The Rambam, because that's the Rambam there by Shkolim and by Rosh Hashanah, Tzvi Shofar, yeah. That the Rambam sometimes understands Medina to be not just the base of Yerushalayim. I don't know. I'm sure they talk about it. I didn't get a chance to listen. I wanted that same question. What the Dr. Zuck is referring to is the famous note. What does it mean? Sometimes the Gemara distinguishes, like in the first, fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, it's Ki Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shaholis B'Shabbos. So the Mishnah distinguishes between the Mikdash and the Medina. So what exactly does Medina mean? Does it mean anywhere outside the Beis HaMikdash, including the rest of Yerushalayim? Or does it mean, no, the rest of Yerushalayim has a din of the Beis HaMikdash, anywhere outside Yerushalayim, Machlokas, Raman Rashid. I don't know whether the Shitas would line up here or not. It's an interesting question. But he writes, the Rambam writes, Shaim, this is again the Rambam Perek Yud Dalad of Hilchas Tfila. And by that point, the very end of Hilchas Tfila is Hilchas Nesias Kapayim. So actually, the Rambam appends the laws of Duchen and the laws of Tfila. So technically it's called Hilchas Nesias Kapayim. So there, it says Perek Yud Dalad of Yud again, Shaim Mazkir and Sashem Kichsoba El of Mitzvah Bovad. Umishemeshim and a Tzadik Poskwa Konum of Arkushem of Horsh, Apil of Mitzvah. Why? Kedeshalil lo Yomar also Adam Shaino Choshev Vashaino Ogun. That somebody was not worthy and not, not really on the right level to use that name should not know it. The law hayoch hachama rishon of landin shem zelot hamidem of neema agunim el apam achas l'sheva shonim ko zeh gedur l'shmo anichwa v'anor. The Ram says, practically speaking, it wasn't taught to people once every X number of years. They would tell people how to pronounce it. We're very, very careful in guarding that name. In fact, in last week's Sedra, in Parashas Shmos, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu introduces himself to Moshe, he has an expression in Parag Gimel Pasuk Tezvav, Zeh Shmi Le'olam, V'zeh Zichri Le'dor-dor. Right, Zeh Shmi Le'olam, V'zeh Zichri Le'dor-dor. So on this, there's a famous Gemara in the end of Kiddushin, on the Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling to Moshe in that unusual language, Zeh Shmi Le'olam, V'zeh Zichri Le'dor-dor, I was telling them, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Kishani Nichtav Ani Nikro. My name is not read the way it's written. Okay, Nichtav Ani B'Yud Hei. It's read, it's written rather with a Yud Hei and a Vav Hei. But B'Nikro B'Alav Dalad. And then the Gemara goes on, and basically the Gemara indicates that it was never, in the same Gemara, it was never really popularized, and even the Kohanim, not all the Kohanim knew it. We know that the people used to hear the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, let's say, we recount this as part of the Avodah on Yom Kippur, Kohanim Ba'am Omdim Bazar, we mentioned that Gemara a few weeks ago in Ron Yuma, they would hear the Shema Forish, they would be Korim, but there was no sound system in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, now, who heard it? The people towards the front heard it. You had a seat in the back, and cheap seats, they didn't hear it, they didn't hear it in the, but they bowed anyway because everybody else bowed, but the only handful of people heard it. And in fact, this Gemara indicates that they would actually, the Gemara says, Tanar Bonin, the Gemara says that, Hayu Hatsnum Shemekahuna Mavliyam Oso Bene'ima Tachem. Tanya Omer Tarfon Pam Achas Alisa Achar Achi Miladuchem Vitesi Azni Etzal Kohen Gadol V'Shamati Shevliya Shom Shem V'Ne'ima Asechav Akonim. Reb Tarfon recorded he was once there. Reb Tarfon was alive and the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. He bridged that time in history. So he said he actually heard that the Kohen would say the name when the people were singing. This may be a mocker, for that we have the practice that the Kohanim sing, as part of the Duchen, everyone joins in. So we say it. The people can say the Rabbanu Shalom, whatever tefillah, those who say it. But the Gemara records the fact that the Kohanim would sing as part of Duchen, and when they, but not exactly the same time we sing, and that's when all this singing was going, that's when the people who knew how to say the Shema Hashem would say it. So it would always be, that's his Mavliyim, it was kind of drowned out, so to speak, that the public didn't hear it because of the singing, that only the people who knew how to, were supposed to know what would hear it, huh? Whatever, right? They would have whatever exactly the tune was, this we don't know. But that's so the point of this Gemara, and the other Gemaras we've seen, is that there was a great effort made to preserve that only certain people should know how to pronounce the name of Hashem. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu, according to this Gemara, was already told by the Sned, by the Burning Bush, and last week said, Lo Kishan Mikhtav Ani Nikra, I'm not, for the name is not pronounced the same way that it's written. And we pronounce it Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. So there are times in the Torah when Hashem's name appears Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Or read Adonai, so that's the way to read it, because that's what the letters spell out. But our point is that here is that when it's spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, we also pronounce it Adonai most of the time. That's what we do. And that actually is a Gemara in Psochim, and it's alluded to here in the Gemara in Kiddushin as well, as we just read. But the Gemara in Psochim says, Daf Nun, Psochim Daf Nun Amar Aleph. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun says that it says Hashem is Ushmo Echad. Excuse me. that in the future be Hashem Achadush Mo'achad. So the Gemara said at the very end of the third parak of Pesachim, says Amar Nachman Yitzchak Lo Kol Amazel Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh Nichtav B'Yud Hei V'Nikra B'Alav Dalet. Aval Olam Haba Kulo Echad Nikra B'Yud Hei V'Nichtav B'Yud Hei. Okay, that in the future it'll be Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, the name will be the same. But in the meanwhile, in this world, then the Gemara has the same statement here as in Kiddush. In this world is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not, I guess, completely revealed in this week, so in this world. So this, of course, is the, we say the Balei Kriya, this is the ultimate Kriya and Ksir that we have in the Torah. Many of you know that when we lay, there are words occasionally where it's written one way in the Torah, but we read it differently. That's called the Kriya and Ksir. Sometimes it will say, who, hey, vav, aleph, we'll read it he. Or v'la nara, lo sater davar, it'll say naro. Without a hey, it'll spell nun, ayin, reish, we'll read it naro. Or we have yishkavena, right. In the Tochacha, it says yishgolena, we read it yishkavena. There are many, many, I don't know how many, a bunch of them we call it Kriya Ksir. But you ask them, what's the most common Kriya Ksir in the Torah? The most common Kriya Ksir in the Torah is the Shem Hashem. Because every time it says yud, hey, and vav, hey, we don't read it that way. We read it aleph, dalet, nun, yud. So that's like a good trivia question for Baal Kori. You know, what's the most common Kriya Ksir in the Torah? Shem Hashem. Yeah. Yeah.
In my little academic, I'm just wondering why
you
be comfortable without the
framework of
custom.
Yeah, I could use it. I can.
Yeah,
I mean, now.
Because it's in the middle of learning.
Yeah, I mean, learning you can use it. Teaching you can use it. I mean, it's better to avoid using it. No doubt. But I mean, it's a matter of cover. That's what the Rambam said. I read the Rambam before. Go back to that Rambam in Perek Yudalad. All of this is kolzeh gedula lishmo hanichvad anora. You know, you want it to reverence, you know, to when you're learning for instruction purposes, so, you know, maybe it's a little bit different. By the way, I should just mention that both, I forgot to mention before, that both the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Gemara in Pesachim, so it's the drasha of the Pasuk in last week said, Rezesh Shmi Le'olam, so the word Le'olam is spelled without a vav. So the word Le'olam without a vav can be Le'alei, means to hide. So that's what Rashi explains. Zesh Shmi Le'olam B'ha'olamo. And as my name, so to speak, is hidden. That is alluded to in the verse as well. It's not to Zesh Shmi Le'olam in the sense of forever and ever, but Zesh Shmi Le'alei, right? That my name should be hidden. Exceed Zesh Shmi Le'olam B'ha'olamo, as Rashi says. Exceed Zesh Zichli, the Mashmer Kriya V'lo Ha'olamo. So which is it? The answer is when you read it the public way, so that's not hidden. That's read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But when it's as far as it's read in this, so to speak, this hidden fashion. Okay, so this is the idea that whenever we come to the reading of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we read it in this fashion, we pronounce it Adonai instead of the way it's written. So as I say, that's the most common Kriyan Ksir. The question is, what are we doing? What I'd like to look at now is what exactly is it that we're doing when we go ahead to pronounce the Shem Yudke Vavke as Adonai? What is that? Thank you. What exactly is it? Are we saying that Lamaisa, that's not really the way to pronounce it, but that's the name we're going to use? Or does that name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, have, you know, is that really the way, so to speak, the Yud Kei Vav Kei should be pronounced? We'll see, I'll explain it in a second. Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Hei of Orach Chaim, Simen Hei in Seif Aleph, and the Mechaber writes, Yechavein Beverchos, whenever you say a bracha, you have to be Kavana for Perish Hamilo, so the meaning of the words, Kesheyazkir Hashem, this is an important Shulchan Aruch, telling you what you have in mind when you say the name of Hashem, when you're saying prophets, when you're davening. So what should you have in mind when you say that name? Kesheyazkir Hashem, Yechavein Perish Kriyoso Be'adnos, Shehu Adon Hakol. You should have in mind, when you're saying Adonai, I'm saying that again for instructional purposes, when you say Adonai, you should have in mind B'adnus, that he's the master, Shu Adon Hakol, he's the master of everything, and Yechaven B'tzivoso, you should also have the Kavan of the way it's written, B'yud Hei, Shehoya, B'hob of a year. That's what the Chaver says, you have both things in mind. When you say the name in a bracha, or in the davening, Shemoneh Esrei, whatever, you say the name Adonai, we should have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon, as we pronounce it, Adonai, but also as it's written, Yud-Kei and above. Like, the fact that we have in a Siddur, sometimes they use Yud-Yud, that's nothing, that's just a symbol. It's like sometimes we make a hey with a, or a dalet. You know, when you write on a blackboard, you teach your kid, you quote a process, you say Hashem, you put a hey with a line. That's nothing. But the Yud, the hey, the vav, and the hey, and that's how some siddurim printed. That's the real name of Hashem. That's how it is when you lay, and that's when you say a bracha. And this is what the Mechaber is telling us we should have in mind. The Mishabura writes in Sid Cotton Bays, Kriyoso ba'adnos ki Hashem ha'nichba da'hanora aso likroso kichsovo. It's also to read it in the way that it's written. Somebody who pronounces it as you think it should be read, based on the letter of Mishnah Shul last night, like the Jay's witnesses, you know, you pronounce it that way. So that's the Gemara, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Datsadi, Hashahoges Hashem Dosi Yosav, you pronounce Hashem based on its letters, is Ein Lachelek Olam Abba, Ela Tzarech Lekroso Ki'ilu Hayakasum Shem Aleph Talad Nun Yud. You read it as though it was written with Adonai, the Gan Benekudos Adonai, the Haino Aleph Pechatach Patach, the Aleph with the A sound. Okay, and I'm not just a parke, he discusses some of the differences and so on, and the Taman Aginu Mula, how you pronounce it, where you put the emphasis and so on. So what we have over here, therefore, is the notion that you have to have in mind, according to the Mechaber, both the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and the Yud Kei Vav when you say a bracha. Now, just in general, they say this, the most famous Korean Ksiv, so the Maharal in Prague, in a number of places, one of the sources that I have here is the Netzach Yisrael, which is one of his works. In Perek Membeis, he discusses this whole concept. Actually, says in a couple of places about this Kriyan Ksid. He says, Ubir zeh ki masher kosa v'hoya ba'oma hu yashem echad ein zeh chas mosan atzmo ki yus brok mitzad atzmo echad l'olam. What does it mean in the future it'll be Hashem echad u'shmo echad? And what's he now? He's not one. Why is it referring to the future? He says, no, it's not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avala inyan hu mitzara mekablin, the way we will perceive it. Kanin tzoyim ba'olam hazeh mekablin ha'ashem yizbarach pu'ula l'tova pu'ula l'ra v'yush yizbarach echad ha'pu'ula samos mitam ha'chulachos. So he describes how there are different manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And he discusses the difference between the physical, and one name represents the Gashmi, and the Chumri, or the material world, one represents the spiritual world. So that's how he distinguishes between these two names. But somehow, according to Mechaber, he's supposed to sort of fuse these two ideas into one. That's the Maharal. And in the future, we'll be on a Madrega, there'll be no Gashmir, so to speak, everything will be one. That's how he interprets. But that's the Maharal's idea that he has in a couple of different places, that the two different names represent those two different aspects. One is a more Gashmi aspect, one is a more Ruchnius aspect. The Rebbitzke Rav, in his commentary in Parshas Veschanan, the Valva Salavechik and Parshas Veschanan, Parshas Shmos, on that pasuk of Zeshmi Lolom, so here he writes, and the difference is as follows, Shem HaKsiva Harei Mikal Torah Shebichsav, the name that's written, Yudkei Vavkei, that's the Torah Shebichsav, the Shem HaKriya Ubichal Torah Shebalpeh, the fact that you pronounce it Adonai, that's Torah Shebalpeh. If you look in the printed Chumash, the written Chumash, you're not going to see those letters Aleph Dal. You'll see sometimes Aleph Dal Nun Yud, but when you see Yud Kei Vav Kei, it doesn't say Aleph Dal Nun Yud. So he said that's Torah Shebalpeh. Hanim Seretz Midor Lador. V'zeil Denokar Akosov Gabri Shmi Shehi Shem Haksima LaOlam VeGabri Zichri Shem Hakriya Nokad Lishnu Lador Dor. He said that's why it says Zeh Shmi LaOlam. That's the written Torah Shebalpeh. Zeh Zichri, the way it's pronounced Lador Dor, it has to be transmitted generation to generation. Otherwise, how would we know? We would never know to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei as Adonai. That's not what the letters spell, right? There's no question about that. That's not what the letters spell out. We'd never know that if not for Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rizkir Rav said that's exactly the din of Torah Shebal Peh. Then he gives another approach, and that's why in the future, the Olam Haba, the Kri and the Ksiv will be the same. So that's the Rizkir Rav's interesting yisod. Now, as I said before, the Shulchan, yeah.
Sometimes in Tanakh, where there's two
of Hashem's
together,
one is pronounced. Very good. One is pronounced Elohim. So it says in that Shulchan Aruch, very good segue right into what I want to mention. Again, we're in our Chaim Siman Hey, when the Mechaber says you're supposed to have in mind by Yud Kei Vav Kei both the Adnos. Because Rav is Adon, the Adonai name, as well as what Yud Kei Vav Kei represents, namely Hoya Rehove V'Yeh. So the Vilna Gaon in the Bir HaGro has an interesting comment. Usually the Vilna Gaon in the Bir HaGro just gives you the mucker. It gives you a source. You have whatever the din that's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. So the Vilna Gaon tells you in the Bir HaGro where it is. The Mechaber mentions a din, Ramon mentions a din. So the Bir HaGro usually tells you where do you find it. This is a Gemara over here, that's a Tosus over there, there's Yerushalmi, there's a Medrash, whatever. But sometimes the Bir HaGro has a little bit more to say. So it's still brief, but this is one of the places here in the Aruch Chaim Siman Hey. The Bir HaGro writes, he mentions about the Kavanah. I'll read the second part first because I don't want to get back to him. He mentions that when you have, Yeah. He mentions that when you have the name of Hashem twice in a row, and one time it's actually the word Adonai appears at Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. So then, like we have a Novi a lot of times, sometimes the Chumash also, then how are you going to say two words in a row, pronounce it the exact same way, with obviously two different words? Doesn't make, you know, it looks funny. You're going to say, it says Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, then Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, like the beginning of Eschana. It says, Adonai, Elohim, Atachi, Loso, Aros, Adachos, 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 etc. So there it says Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, then Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. So how are you going to, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, you have to read is Adonai, that's what it says. Now you're going to read the Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, which is a totally different word, the same way you just read the other word. It looks a little strange. How do you pronounce two words in a row the exact same way, when it's spelled totally differently? So there, we substitute for Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, a different name of Hashem, namely Elohim. That's why. In other words, yeah. But there it says Yud Kei Vav Kei twice. Exactly. When it says Yud Kei Vav Kei again, Yud Kei Vav Kei, so that's fine. Like it's chosen me, Adonai, and then again Adonai, right? But when you have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud written once, and next to it is Yud Kei Vav Kei, so then it's strange to say that you're going to say both times the same thing, even though the name is different. So therefore, you read it differently the one at a time. You know, you substitute, as I say, you substitute for the name of Hashem a different name.
So it's a keynote rather than being the intrinsic name.
Oh, so that's really what we have to, yeah.
It's an intrinsic name, so it's written two ways. Spelled one time with an Aleph, one time with a Yud-Heh.
Right, so that's sort of what I wanted to try and look into exactly what it is here, because the truth of the matter is, the Bir HaGra says something else also. Bir HaGra makes another interesting comment. As I say, usually he gives you the Makar. So here he gives the Makar for the Din and the Mechaber, and the Din and the Mechaber is that you're supposed to have in mind both Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Afech Hashem is the Adon and Yud Kei Vav Kei that is Hoya Hover V'Yir. So the Vilna Gaon tells you the Makar. The Makar is in a statement by Rabbeinu Yonah in a work called the Sefer HaYira. It's not one of Rabbeinu Yonah's better known works, but it's very often printed in the back of the Shari Tshuva. The regular Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, where he goes, the Shari Tshuva is a classic work in Hilchos Tshuva, that people of course study during Yom HaRoim time, obviously. And many editions of the Shari Tshuva in the back, he has this, they print the Sefer HaYira, it's a shorter work. So it's printed over there, that's where the Rabbeinu Yonah, of course one of the great Yishonah, Rabbeinu Yonah writes that you have in mind, you say the Shana Shem, both Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and Yud Kei Vav Kei. But the Vilna Gaon says, I say, he doesn't just give you the Makar here, he talks a little more. He says, if you take a look in the Sefer Yira, and I have it at home, again, it's printed in the back of the Sefer Shari Tshuva, he does say that, but if you look carefully, the context he's talking about there is the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema. There we have Yud Shema Yisrael, right, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hena Yud Kei Vav Kei Achad. So there, Rabbeinu Yonah says, when you say in the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, you say you have to have in mind, you say Hashem, both that He's Adon, the Master, and Hayah Over Yeh, you know, He's eternal and so on. So the Vilna Gaon understands that may be a unique factor relating to the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. Perhaps the Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say that, it appears, as a general comment that whenever you find a bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei or wherever else, which is the Mechaber's talking about, brachas in general, that's not exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah is sort of the first parasha of Kriya Shema. You can try and figure out, not the first parasha, but the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. Now the first pasuk of Kriya Shema may be different because there's an element of Kabbalah, Tol, Malchus, Shemayim. Now the first pasuk of Kriya Shema may have its unique set of rules. So the Vilna Gaon says, and so on, he quotes it. He says, but if you look carefully, he says, the Rabbeinu Yonah, going to the Rabbeinu Yonah himself writes, that v'chol pam v'azkiro shem yuchud yachshev al pirish kriyoso shu adon hakol havamash v'shom she'ein tzarech lachshom el al pirish kriyoso rak v'kriyashma she'shom beiz ha'shem os morim ahoya ho v'yivos avichein ikar l'fi omek hadin. He says the truth of the message of Vilna Gaon, I disagree with the Mechaber. That you don't have to have in mind every time when you say the Shema Hashem in a bracha, you have to have it, or in davening or whatever, you have to have in mind both things. No, generally you have to have in mind only the Shem that is Adon HaKol. Okay? Matter of fact, you have an article sitting here. I think in this Siddur and other Siddurim, right at the beginning here, one of the opening pages of the table of contents says, Kavanas Hashem. So he quotes from the Shulchan Aruch, Kesiyazkir Shem, we call it the Shem Havaya, right? Yudke Bodke. Yechavim Perish Kriyosu Ba'adnu Sho Adon Arkol. Yechavim Bitsivoso Biyud Hei Shahoy Ba'ova Yir. But then he writes, Lafi Bir Hagro, Zerak Bishne Shem Osher Posegrishin Sho Kriyashma. Ubechol Pama Kherishimazkir Shem Yuchad Yechashu Bo Perish Kriyosu Sho Adon Arkol only. That's the only thing you have to have in mind. So it's actually Machokas, the Mechavim have only gone, and it's a relevant Machokas as to what one should have in mind when mentioning the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, when we say it in Baruch, it's an important question. So we're going to come back to what that may depend on. Dr. Zuki hinted at it before with regard to whether it's a nickname or something different. There are the Gemara has in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Hey, the bottom of an album, we'll save time not reading inside, but the Gemara mentions there are a number of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which are called Shemo She'enam Nimchakim. Names that are not supposed, you're not allowed to erase it. Once it's written, so you're not allowed to erase it. You have to put it in Shemus. That's where the term Shemus comes from. Shemus means names. Right? If something is Shemus, I remember when I was a little kid, I always thought Shemus was a Yiddish word. I gotta put it in Shemus. Either means a spy or it's a Yiddish word, right? So I thought it was a Yiddish word. Just from the word names. So the things, the papers that have the name of Hashem, so you have to put it in Shemus. Now whether that extends, how far that extends to other things, Psukim and the Victoria and Sheet, so I will talk about it another time. You don't want to hear what I hold about it, but that's a question. But certainly if it has Shemos, it has something which has the name of Hashem on it, not a A with a little line over it, a Dalet something, but it has the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vavet, Siddur is torn, something like that, Chumash is unusable, got ruined in the water, whatever it is, has the name of Hashem printed, that you have to put in Shemus. But anyway, so the Gemara in Shavuos has a list of such names. There are many names of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nicknamed. Rachum V'chanun, and we have Amokom, Amokom in Achanesham, etc. So the Rambam Paskin is based on this Gemara in Shavuos. Achlam and Hei, Perak Vav, Hukus, Yisrael, Atal, Lachem, Beis. Shiva Shemos Heim, Hashem, Anichtav, Yud, Hei, Vav, Hei, Behu, Hashem, Forosh, O Anichtav, Alat, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Bekel, Elokav, Elokim, Elokei, Shakai, Tzorkos, Kol Amokom, Amokhek, Afilo, Oz, Akas, Mishra, Eloke, Kemalkus, Malkus, these are the seven. Yeah, there's a machlokas about somewhat about them. Last week said what we say, Ahiyah, is that part of it? And I don't know to the whole machlokas, but that's the din. And the, because the Mishnah quotes from that, from that Gemara. And Shavuos, he discusses what the different opinions that El Elokim, maybe it's the same name, Kael and Elokim is the same. Anyway, but these are the names. The first one on the list is Aleph, Dalet, and Yud. So that, relates to that issue. Maybe that's why the Gemara Pesachim says that why was Adonai chosen, if you hold that way, all other names, they're not intrinsic. It may just be the first on the list, even though the Gemara doesn't appear as the first. But that's what I've shown him say, so that's the most prominent of the other names besides the Yud Kei Vav, however that's pronounced, the most prominent, the most significant is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Therefore, that's the one we pick as the one to read Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whenever it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, we'll read the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud name. Except, as we said before, if it appears right next to it in the pasuk, and you write it's one phrase, so then we'll take one of the next ones, which is Elohim. That's the idea of that. Chazal made that determination. So that's an interesting question. So the Gemara Pesachim just says, the Gemara Dash and the Psukim, it's not clear in any Psukim. The Gemara says on that, Gemara Kedusha, I'm read this way, so it sounds like Hashem Zelf picked it. I mean, what you're saying is that the way Chazal, the Gemara reads, Hashem Zelf told them this is the way to do it. So that's what the Brisker Rav said, it's part of Parsha Bal Peh. So I should clarify, thanks for pointing this out, that we picked it, but it's part of, that's what the Brisker Rav said in that comment from the Chumash, that it's part of Parsha Bal Peh, is that this is the way it's read. That's what, it's read that way because perhaps it's the most prominent of the names. The Rambam has another din here, and this will lead us to what we're trying to get to. The Rambam Hilchos Avodas Kochavim in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. The Rambam discusses what about the person, abuses, so to speak, or Megadeth, curses the name of Hashem. So the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Hilchos Avodas Kochavim Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, "Elohim dina hamegadeth, ena megadeth chayav skila, achi yafarish es Hashem hamiyuchad shel arba osios, shehu alav dalad nun yud, yivarach oso b'shem en Hashem Hashem en chokim and so on." The Rambam says, according to some, you get malchus, you violate megadeth, curse the name of Hashem for cursing using the pronunciation alav dalad nun yud. And he says, "V'yesh mishum mefarish enu chayav ela al shem yud kev okay." Some say only you'll violate the Issuf Megadeh for the Yud Kei Vav Kei name, using that name. However, Avaniyah Omer Shal Shneim Hu Nislam. You get, you violate, you get skill, you get punished for Megadeh, for Birch, what's called is called euphemistically Birchas Hashem, blessing Hashem, means cursing, right? So you get it for both. That's what the Rambam says. So on the basis of this Rambam, again, it's Perek Beis of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Halacha Zayin. So on the basis of this, the Velvo Salavetchik in his commentary on the Rambam, here in the Chiddush HaMaran Rizal Levi on that Rambam, he says, based on this, Hanir alone was there, the Harambam Sirilei, the Behod Amina B'Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph, K'siv Zeh Shmi, K'siv Zeh Zichri, etc. The Gemara we mentioned before in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph, he says, it seems to me that the Rambam holds that the HaKriya Shel Adnus, He Gam Kriya Al Hashem Shel Havaya. It's not something that was picked as a substitute somehow. That is the ascent. That's something like you were saying. We didn't pick it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked it. He said that's the way to read these words. Yud Kei Vav Kei is read. It's a Kriya Ksiv. It's read Aleph Aleph Nun Yud. That's what the Rambam holds. He says in Kain after Etzem Hashem Shel Adnus Lav Shem Hamiyuchadu, the name Adonai, right, is not the Shem Hamiforosh, it's not the Shem Hamiyuchad. Aval Koponim Harei Bezeh Shapirish Hashem Adnus Mikri Shapirish Gam Hashem Yuchad Shizui Kriyoso Ulhachi Chayv Migadev, and it's included under the Menokev Shem Hashem Yumad and so on. The nearer the Bezeh, I'm reading further. The Bezeh Kule Alma Shilahachi. The Zel Yisod Adin. The Zeh Shmi Zeh Zichri. The Bahakriya. The Adnus Mikre Linyan Kol Adinim Shenikra Gamla Shema Kazu Shema Vaya. Okay, and Achain Kol Del in Brichas Konim and so on. Right, you have to use that name. So the Briskarov says he understands from the Rambam that the name that we substitute, we say Adonai, again I'm saying for instructional purposes, when we say that to replace, so to speak, it's not just, well, we can't say the Yud Kei Vav Kei, so therefore immediately we have to say this other name. The Rambam seems, the Brisker Rav seems to understand from the Rambam more than that. No, that is the way it's pronounced, that's the pronunciation. It's not just a substitute, a nickname, like the next best thing, yeah.
So then why did they submit this
when they got to the Yeah, it's an interesting question. You have to say that, because the Rambam himself does distinguish, he just says there is a difference still between the Yud, that's maybe more the name, but it's another, huh? Yeah, it should have had the right to do it that way also. Again, unless you want to say, yeah.
Can you just read that, Rambam, because I never understood that. I thought
Rambam
says,
"Oh, you came up here." No, he says, "Yesh meforshin she'enu chayv el al shem yud hei vav hei." Vani omer shal shmei emuniskal. That's on very basic. What was coming up as I, and that's how the Brisker Rav. However, the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva has a different understanding. Chassam Sofer is in the Tshuva in the end of Choshen Mishpat. He has some Kuf Tzadi Beis. The Tshuva addressed to Marin Rav Akiva Posner. That's the Akiva Eger. So the Tshuva was written to Rekiv Eger. So he says, he disagrees. He basically says that the Etzem name Hashem is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. But he says, and he brings a raya, he says, because the Gemara says that until Avram, of the one brachas, Av Zayin says, nobody referred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon until Avram Avinu. Ad Shabu Avram Avinu, Gemara Baruch Zayin Avayz, Lo Ha Adam Shakara Adon Ad Shabu Avram, Ap, Avram Avinu Al Avashon, Vekara Odor. In Cain, Kor Yishanu Hagu Be'osu Zadi Neima, Shem Kino Osa B'Shem Elokim, In Cain Hagu Likos, Kol Hashem Shem Reishu Zad Avram, B'Shem Elokim, Velo B'Shem Elokim, V'Kush Azul Kul B'Kush Atoz. He says, wait a minute, if so, what was done till Avram Avinu? Had they pronounced the Shem Hashem? All the names Hashem, name Hashem appears before Avram Avinu in the Torah. So how should we read that today? Right? So he says, what it means is as follows. He says, at first he says there's a medrash in the Gemara Chulin that says Adam Rishon called them by that name. They're also already Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So he says what that Gemara means is that there was nobody who called HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the name of Adnos separate from Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay? He says Lo Adam Shekara Adonai Beli Kavanas Havaya. Okay, there are two different types of adnus. Yesh echad mashu hove kol havayas kulon ashiyatu baru melu adon lakol. Okay, and then there's a different type of adnus. So he says, Avram is the first shakara adon belief theory of havaya. But in any event, it comes out from the Chassam Sofer, it would appear, that really the name of adnus stands on its own. There is a separate name of Admos, and we sort of attach it, so to speak, to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. I think that's how the Sham Sofer seems to say. So that's different than the Brisker Rav. In other words, it's not, the Brisker Rav says it's based on that Rambam, and he has a different explanation. He quotes, he discusses the Rambam. He has a different explanation of the Rambam. But so it could be that we really have a difference in these, significant difference in these Achronim, as to what the nature of the pronunciation of the name of Hashem, when we say, I'm again for saying the teaching, when we say Adonai, Yud Kei Vav Kei, it could well be that, according to the Brisker Rav, that's the way it's pronounced. Whereas according to the Chasam Sofer, it's not necessarily the case. And it's interesting because there may be a, you know, a couple of, there may be some nafkaminas in this regard. It's late, so I'm going to go through it a little quickly. I mentioned before that Brisker Rav elsewhere, in the Parshas Veschanan, he has a comment here on that pasuk, Hashem Elokim. So he says, said, when we read it as Elokim, you just as your issue, that's what I mentioned. He said, when we say it as Elokim, that ain't zu kriyoso shel Hashem anichtav. That's not its proper pronunciation. Rak havi kemo kol kri uksiv shabatorish, ain't a kri kriyoso uksiv, rak ki kri acheres legamrei. So he brings up the kri and ksiv issues. There's a tshuva from the Rashba. Again, I'm not going to be in time to translate, but there's a tshuva from the Rashba. It's the Shalshuas Rashba Chelek Zayin Simon Shin Samach Aleph. He was asked the following question. When you read a kri and ksiv, let's say you mentioned, not you mentioned the word before, Yishka Vena, Yishka Lena. So what are you supposed to do when you're the Baal Kori, or you got the Aliyah? Do you read that, do you let the look inside when you say that word? Right? You have to say, you have to read the word. Let's say it says Yishkovena, Yod Shin Gimel Lamed Nun Hey. And we pronounce it Yishkovena. So must the Baal Kori be looking inside? Or no, he's not saying what is printed there anyway. So it doesn't make a difference. You say that Al Peh. That's the tshuva that the Rashba was asked. So he said it's Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai and so on. But it's an interesting question. And the truth of the matter is, others discuss this as well. We don't have a time, but Moshe Feinstein has a number of different tshuvas where he discussed this. He says, what if there was a problem with the spelling? What if a piece of wax or something got stuck on one of those words, which is a kri and ksiv? Do you have to take out another sefer Torah? Therefore, you're not reading what it says anyways. What's the difference? Right? So it's an interesting question. Maybe we won't talk about it in greater detail once about kri and ksiv. But it's an interesting question. How far do we, if you want to look at the Shaar Ephraim, which is important, I bring it in. The Shaar Ephraim, which is an important work on Yonei Kriyas HaTorah, and Shaar Gimel, Perikya Gimel, he writes, Kol teva shu kriya ksiv, aloch lomosh misina echi aksiv, v'lo kmo shu nichtov, hu nikro, kiim kifi amasoris. V'lachein, kein tzarech hakor likro. That's how you have to read it. Okay, v'akol piz deshu kore kriya baal peh, you read that baal peh, shari ksiv b'tor b'dinach, avichein tzarech hu sheyir b'sefer HaTorah, hateva aksuva. Shema, you have to look inside. It was he paskin that you have to look inside. However, others disagree that Prima Gadim and Arachayim Sim Kuf Mem Aleph and the Eshel Avram Sim Kotten Tez, based on Amagan Avram there in Sim Kotten Tez, seems to say you don't have to look at it inside. So Kumi Amachok, as Moshe has said before, has this Tshuvah Arachayim Chele Gimel Sim Mem Aleph. He links it up to two Shittas in Tosus on the Aflam and Chesem Aleph in Sota. Another Tshuvah Moshe is Arachayim Sim Aleph. Several different shuvas that Moshe says actually a machokas achronim, which a Moshe links up to a machokas and poses as to whether or not you say that for that becomes the reading. So it could be, but what the Moshe others point out is what may be true about kri and ksiv in general, it may be different with regards to the shame of Hashem. That's what Moshe mentioned. In shame Hashem, you for sure have to look inside. Now we can suggest, and I saw this in a sefer, a contemporary sefer of Chavatzel Shashon, and last week he said maybe it's probably this machlokas, the Brisker Rav and the Sham Sofer. Because if you hold that it's mamish, that is the kriya, like the Brisker Rav wanted to say, that when you see Yud Kei Vav Kei, the way you read it is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, so then, and that's really what the Torah Shel Baal Peh is, then Taki could argue, even if you say by other things the kriya and ksiv say Baal Peh, but not here. That becomes the pronunciation. It's not a kriya and ksiv in the classic sense. Right? When we say, Elohim, that's a kriya and ksiv, like the Brisker Rav said. But when we say Adonai, that is the Zeshmi Lolam, Lokesh and Nichtav and Nikra, and that becomes the way to read it. Somebody has to read inside. Even if you would hold, like that, you know, the Shoal and the Shoal Tarashba, that by other kriya and ksiv, like the Magen Avraham seems to say, by other kriya and ksiv you can say Baal Peh, but not here. Mashenah can be held like a Sam Sofer. No, it's more like a regular Kriyin Ksiv than whatever din would apply to regular Kriyin Ksiv would apply here. So it's an interesting, and the same thing, I guess, by extension, with this question of what if there's a laxer or something that blocks you from reading it, it'll be the same question. But you could argue that by the Shem Hashem that it can't apply. Shem Hashem, you have to read it. It may be Tully in this Machlokas. And finally, the other issue that may be Tully in this same Machlokas is the question we read before, the machlokas in the Chaber and the Ramo, I mean the Chaber and the Vilna Gaon, as to what you have in mind. It could be, it sounds like, the Mechaber says that when you say the Shem Hashem in any bracha, not just the first pasuk Kriya Shema, but in any bracha, you say Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you read it, you're supposed to have in mind both the Adnos and the Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's like the Brisker Rav, because it all merged into one, so to speak. One is the way it's written, one is the way it's said, and it becomes like one. So why do you have to have that in mind all the time? Mashenah Kein, the Vilna Gaon says no. The Vilna Gaon says you only have, the way you pronounce it, this is what we pronounce. We pronounce Aleph Dal Nun Yud. So the first pasuk of Kriya Shema is an exception for whatever the reason, maybe Kabbalah Sol Machos Shmaim, whatever. But according to the Vilna Gaon, it's more like the Sam Sofer, that it's a separate name, and when you have in mind what you're saying, right? That's what the Vilna Gaon says. You're saying the name Adonai, so you have in mind Adonai, so you have to have in mind the other thing. So these are two perhaps practical nafkaminas in this different analysis of the between the Brisker Rav's way of learning of what that when we say the Shem Hashem as Aleph Dal Nun Yud, is that just the Brisker Rav said that become that's part of it's merged into one, it's fused into one entity, so to speak, or like the Chassam Sofer that no, it's more in the gather of a substitute. So these are two possible nafkaminas. Number one, the Kriyin Ksiv issue, we should say it that way. Does it follow the regular rules of Kriyin Ksiv, whatever they are, is it different? And the question about what to have in mind, that's the machlokas, the Mechaber and the Vilna Gaon, as to what you have in mind, the practical machlokas, what should you have in mind when reciting a bracha, just the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud or the Yud Kei Vav Kei? I guess, practically speaking, there's nothing wrong. Well, maybe there is something wrong, but the Mechaber says what he says, so maybe a person should have in mind both the Aleph Dalet Nun, the Adnos, as well as the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Wish everybody a good of us.